we have begun the great season of Advent. Yesterday was the first day, today is the first weekday, and today is also a beginning. Today is the first day of our novena to the Immaculate Conception, that is our novena in preparation for our foundation day. So we'll pray the novena prayers right after the Mass. Now, at the beginning of anything, we have to get an understanding of where we're going, otherwise no sense beginning, or no sense starting in the wrong direction. Yesterday, the beginning of Advent was quite a stern warning not to be asleep, or we will be taken by surprise when the Lord comes. You remember yesterday's Gospel. When the Lord comes, or when the day comes, some people are going to die of fright. Other people are going to stand up and welcome him. So yesterday's message was, don't die of fright, stand up and welcome the Lord. Get ready so that you won't be taken by surprise. Don't fall asleep. Don't let your heart be drowsy due to carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life. So now we have been awakened, and now we're awake. Okay, we realize that we don't want to be caught so much by surprise that we will die of fright. We should remember that whenever the Lord breaks into our life, it's always a bit of a surprise. I mean, God is a God of surprises. Even though we expect him to come, we want him to come, we prepare for him to come, when he comes, it's still surprising. The God of surprises. Just think of, I'll give you two examples from the scriptures, a sudden arrival, a sudden invasion of the presence of the Lord. The first example is St. Paul. Remember St. Paul, when he was on his way to Damascus and the Lord appeared to him, spoke to him from heaven, Saul, Saul. He didn't die of fright, but something in him died. He was blinded, he was knocked down, he was really frightened. And everybody with him was frightened. Remember, everybody was surprised. What is this, a voice from heaven, a brilliant light from heaven? It was an arrival, and they weren't ready for it. So they didn't literally die of fright, but they did pass through quite a revolution. The other example I'll point to, and this is more appropriate for Advent, is the Blessed Virgin Mary. When the angel appeared to her at the Annunciation, she was frightened. Remember? She was frightened and she was disturbed. What is this? Whenever an angel appears, people get frightened. But she didn't die of fright. She didn't lose her wits. She said, wait a minute, what's this about? What is this greeting me? What is this? Why are you telling me this? Who are you in this? So Mary, with great prudence and with great faith, made an evaluation of this experience and then opened her heart fully to accept the word. Let it be done to me. So she's a better example of standing up, of being ready. Okay, so here we are. We have been awakened by yesterday's reading, and today we have begun the journey. Now, we're taught in today's liturgy, and really Advent tells us this again and again, it's not enough simply to awaken and then spring into action. It's not as if we get up on the first Sunday of Advent or Monday of the first week of Advent and say, oh, now I better do something, decorate my house now, or get my shopping done. Or come to Mass. Not that any of those things are a bad thing, they're all good. But the prior preparation is more interior. An examination of our attitudes, of our inner readiness. So, yes, we awake, but it's like when you wake up in the morning. When you wake up in the morning, you don't just run out of the room. You always say, okay, well, where am I? What am I doing here? Lord, help me. And maybe wash your face and get a little bit of a perspective of how to start the day. So today's liturgy, especially today, gives us an attitude or an example of the right attitude, and that is this centurion. Centurion is the first Advent model. We'll have many of them. Of course, the Blessed Virgin Mary is the best, but there are many cases where we will see people who have the right inner attitude. And the attitude of the centurion is a combination of humility and faith. He's a fulfillment of the prophecy that we hear in the first reading, Isaiah, and you'll see this pattern again and again in Advent. Prophecy from Isaiah, fulfillment in the Gospel. In the prophecy, the Lord says that all nations are going to come to the Lord. The mountain of the Lord's house is going to be the center of the world, and anyone who wants salvation or freedom or wisdom, anyone who wants to know the Lord will come to this mountain, meaning the Lord himself. And all the nations will come, and they will lay aside their weapons of war, or not lay them aside, they will transform their weapons of war into instruments of cultivation, beating their swords into plowshares. So a great change is prophesied, and we see it in the centurion. He's a soldier, he's got a sword. He comes to the Lord not in order to fight him, but in order to appeal for help for his suffering servant. So the centurion reveals an inner attitude of openness to God, openness to Jesus Christ, and the faith that says, you, Lord, have the power to do what my servant needs. You can heal. Notice that the centurion doesn't even request in this case. He just lays the need before the feet of Jesus. Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, suffering dreadfully. He just tells him the reality of the situation. He doesn't even ask him anything. It's Jesus who offers to go there. He says, oh, I will come and cure him. So Jesus sees the opening in this man. He sees this man's humble disposition. He's just presenting him the reality of his situation before him without any arrogance, no demand, not even a request. It's certainly legitimate to make requests of God. But he doesn't even do that. He just says, Lord, here I am. Here's my situation. Jesus is the one who says, I will come. And then the centurion says, oh, you don't even have to do that. My servant needs a healing. Yes, I need your help. But you don't have to come to my house. Just say the word. That's part of the greatness of this centurion. He realizes he doesn't have to do physical changes. He doesn't have to decorate his house. He has to be open to the word, and he is. Just say the word. Isn't that a great Advent instruction? Just say the word, Lord. That's what we have to say. Say the word, and you will come. I don't have to see you do extraordinary miracles. I just need your word. Centurion says, I know how this works. People in authority say the word, and what they say happens. I do it all the time. I tell people under me, do this, and do it. So just say it. If you have authority, just do it. And we will respond. So Jesus is amazed when he sees this. He says, I've never found faith like this. This is an extraordinary example of faith. And when Jesus says that, that means be like this. Use this man as a model. Because this is the kind of person who will come from the east and the west. This is the kind of person who will come to the mountain of the Lord and enjoying the banquet in the kingdom of heaven. A person with this kind of faith. So if we're going to rejoice in the coming of the Lord, if we're going to be able to stand when the day comes, when he takes us by surprise, if we're not going to fall down and die of fright, we need this humility, this awareness of how authority works, and this faith in the power of the Word. We say this at every Mass. Let's say it throughout our Advent. Lord, just say the Word. Just say the Word, and my soul will be healed.